begin to entertain it. Soon we're looking for ways to move our boss out of the way or try to work around him or her in an effort to promote our own agenda. Friends and family can unintentionally fuel this distortion with questions like, so when are you going to go out and lead your own thing? When are you going to find a place that appreciates your skills and gives you a bigger position? Your brother's doing such great things in his job. Maybe someday you will as well. When you hear questions like that, you tend to find affirmation for the hunger you feel to let your ambition run wild, thinking that until you get out from under authority, you can't really do what you're called and gifted to do. You think, well, God wants me to lead. I have a mandate to do this, so I need to get the corner office, the reserved parking spot, the title of the senior leader to make that happen. This kind of ambition just reaffirms the lie that we can't really lead until we're in charge. Some eager leaders start planning a path to climb the ladder through less than savory means or even by developing an exit plan. We've all seen this distortion leave a wake of devastating consequences. These types of leaders will leave an organization too early, bouncing around from job to job, from church to church, hoping to find the golden ticket that allows them to be in charge. Of course, there are leaders who leave for good reasons. After seeking wise counsel and for the good of all involved, you might actually need to eventually leave your role as well. Just be aware that you will never find that magical place where you can lead without any constraints. There isn't a healthy church or organization that exists for leaders who think they don't need an authority over them. The dream of an unrestricted frontier where you can lead exactly how you want, when you want, and in the direction you want, it's a pipe dream. It doesn't exist. The more leaders I speak with, the more I realize that no one ever actually feels fully in charge. CEOs answer to boards, principals answer to superintendents, pastors answer to elders, and government officials answer to the people. The idea of a role where you can have all the authority and be fully in charge is found only in a monarchy or a dictatorship. Leading without constraints and giving into unbridled ambition will be the death of any leader, because God didn't intend for our ambition to run wild. I'm not saying you should stick it out in a bad situation forever. You may eventually need to leave your current job. Just know that if you are sensing a voice inside of you telling you that your boss is the only obstacle between you and the life you've always dreamed of having, it's a distortion of your ambition. You don't need to kill your ambition, but you can't let it run wild. Thankfully, we don't need to follow either extreme. There's actually another way, a better way. But first, let's look at the origin of ambition. I've talked to young leaders who want so badly to be good Christians that they won't allow for any ambition. And I've talked to young leaders who have so much ambition that they don't feel like they can be a good Christian. Neither of those is the answer. There's a more Jesus-centered way that allows you to harness the ambition God put in you while remaining where you are. To understand, we need to go back to the origin of that ambition inside of you, the genesis of it all. Understanding your past will always bring more clarity for your future. So we need to understand what ambition is, where it comes from, why God has put it in you, and how to harness it for the purpose it was given. In the creation account of Genesis 1, we read about how God made us. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You and I were made in God's image, the Imago Dei. We were stamped with the image of God. And that has been passed down to us from generation to generation, from the beginning of time. If you haven't processed the weight of that, now would be a great time. When God made you, he had himself in mind. I've had the beautiful and unforgettable moments of holding each of our kids for the first time. And at different times and different forms, this verse from Genesis has inevitably popped into my head. I think about how this little delight, this bundle of